This episode of Keep Calm and Crown On is brought to you by Minute with Mary. Ladies and gents, this is the new year. It's crazy, right? It's a new year and it's time if you wanted to take your skincare up to a new level or simply do something as getting an amazing mascara. Well, I can help you at Minute with Mary. I've got a ton of great things in store for you, but you, since you're a listener, you actually get a 15% off discount. Just head on over to minutewithmary.com/discount for 15% off my favorite mascara, the Epic Mascara.
HE1 children were buried today. The rage in all the faces behind all the eyes. And they didn't smash things up. They didn't fight in the streets.
What did they do?
They sang. The whole community. It's the most astonishing thing I've ever heard.
Did you weep?
I might have wept, yes. Are you going to tell me it was inappropriate? And the fact is, anyone who heard that hymn today would not just have wept. It would have been broken into 1,000 tiny pieces.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Keep Calm and Crown On. It's a podcast dedicated to the crown on Netflix. So grab your best cup of tea and let's get royal. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I just wanted to say Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year to all of you listening. Happy New Year to everyone who's even listening after all of this is said and done. Today, with the date of this recording, is January, what, 2nd? 2nd.
It is.
I believe, yes. January 2nd. So, yeah, welcome to the year 2020, which I feel like is one of those fictional years that you just hear. But it's never like a thing. It's never a real thing. You know what I mean? It's made up. Like if someone in 1979 wrote a book in the future, like in the year 2020,
I agree.
We're gonna have flying cars. You know, like that kind of deal.
Here we are. We're here, guys.
Still no flying cars.
I mean,
we got helicopters, which is nice. Helicopters are good. I suppose.
Those have been around for a while.
But anyway, we're here to talk today about The Crown and episode 303, Abervan, and all the great things that happen along with it. Before we get into the remainder.
All the not so great things, Blake. Well, rephrase that.
Well, no, I mean, the story itself is definitely not great, Bob. But the writing and the execution of this episode of television is phenomenal. But before we get into all that, I want to remind all of you that you can visit us at maryandblake.com, where you can find all of our podcasts, including Outlander Cast, This Is Us 2, The North Remembers, which is a Game of Thrones podcast, so many different things that are going on there, including our Hamilton podcast as well. You can also check out all of the blogs that we have there, all the stuff about Outlander, Mary and Blake's blog, the blog for The Handmaid's Tale, which is called The Handmaid's Diaries. It is all there at maryandblake.com, and you can find all of us everywhere, too, on all of the social media, YouTube, Twitter.
We're there.
Facebook.
We're all over the place.
Instagram. It's just look up Mary and Blake. We're there. We're ready to go. Marvin, are you ready to get into...
Yes, I am.
...all of the rest of this episode?
You betcha.
All right, let's do it.
Right. So this episode.
Yes. It was entitled Abervan, which is a town name in Wales where this episode takes place. Obviously, it's concerning the coal mining incident that happened in this town, which eventually killed a whole bunch of people and a bunch of kids at the same time. It was directed by Benjamin Caron, again, who is so far proving to be an excellent director. Just for those of you want to just get all the information about it. He directed Olding, Mystery Man, Matrimonium, Barrel, Assassins, and Scientia Potentia Est, those episodes of The Crown.
Okay.
And as always, the writer was Peter Morgan, the founder, creator, and writer of the showrunner of The Crown. That is that. Marvin, it's time for your Corgi's rating.
My Corgi's rating. This is a 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. Why? What were we, like, what's the thing that stands out for you the most that gives it a 5 for you?
You know, when episodes of television make me cry, mm-hmm. like make tears actually come on my face.
you want to take that, you want to walk when that take there back? There are
actually tears rolling down my face.
Just walk that take right back.
There you go. That's my Corgi rating.
We can apply for a take annulment on that one.
5. The end.
Oh, we'll let that one go. We're just going to gleefully ride past what Mary just said.
Yep.
For me, I'm giving this one a 4.8. The execution of this episode is fantastic. The writing, the directing, all of it looks beautiful, by the way. Even the CGI, too, looks mm-hmm. very good. Some great things that stand out in this episode that I quite like. However, there's just this one nagging sense that I'm getting from this show. And I think it's probably by design for this show. Meaning, well, we'll get there in a minute. But what do you got for your GBG? Your good, bad, great.
All right. My good is how incredibly strong my feelings were while I was watching this episode, which is so funny because, of course, it's mirrored in the fact that Queen Elizabeth was not able to show her emotions. So don't worry. Don't worry, Betty. Got you covered on the tears. My bad,
Betty,
is that I did feel so terrible watching this, and I feel like an utter arse that I didn't know this disaster happened.
I don't think a lot of people knew about this disaster.
And I just feel really bad. I still feel really bad about it.
Sure.
It's taken us a long time to talk about this episode because we both felt so bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, very emotionally heavy.
Yeah, that's my bad. And my great is fictionalizing, you know, what they think Queen Elizabeth would have been writing inside her notebook, which they think these conversations might have been, because she's still alive. People haven't been able to come out of the woodwork and be like, yeah, this is how she felt when she heard the news. This is what she felt for those 8 days when she was still at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was an interesting take, and it will be even more interesting to see what happens in the future when we are able to find out the truth. But this was, I find this show very interesting. As I said, it kind of fills in, you know, like the dino DNA, and mm-hmm. then we put this and we fill the holes, you know, what I'm talking about, Jurassic Park
of
fans.
Of course I know.
That's what they're doing. And I like how they're connecting the code.
And bam, we got Dino DNA.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
You're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome. For me, the good in this episode, once again, is the sound editing. The sound editing in this episode, and so far for The Crown in general, has been spectacular. I mean, it's noticeably good. And most of that comes in these very quiet moments for me when you hear certain things that are just, they're happening around other people. Mm-hmm. And there's this great moment where Harold Wilson, the prime minister, walks out into the press conference, and he has to talk about all this stuff. And the camera, the sound of the film running in the camera is the loudest noise there is.
Yep.
You can hear nothing except the film canister. It was just such a special, cool tidbit that this like
you, it's. I love doing episodes like this with you because here I am just talking about how I felt, and you're also able to pull out these things that made me feel
right,
uncomfortable,
absolutely,
made me
like subconsciously. Where you're like,
yes.
Very rarely do you have a television show where it goes dead silent and all you hear is the film canister. Yeah. Very rarely,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure there are points where, you know, they have that effect. You know, like when the most recent example of it would be in The Rise of Skywalker, where Rey and Kylo Ren, spoiler alert, are talking to each other, but via the Force. And there's this sound effect that's called sucking the air out of the room, the whoop, and then it's just silence.
Uh-huh.
That's what happens. So I'm sure that that happens more often in television, but for some reason the sound of the film canister just operating so that the camera was rolling,
stuck out
to me. Another example of it also too would be when all of the diggers were like digging for their kids. Ugh. And you hear the horn and everybody goes shut up and just silence.
They're all waiting to see if they can hear a child.
Yeah. It's just dead silence. What a great moment in this episode. I mean, obviously not for the characters themselves, but just in terms of television making itself. Yeah. Just the guts it takes to go completely silent like that and just sit and wait. You know, I mean, just listen.
That was an example.
That's 4 seconds worth of just silence.
Probably 3 because I started to. It actually was 3. Uncomfortable.
It was for a television show to do that for any more than 5 seconds must be. It's like nails on a chalkboard for a lot of people.
Yes.
And that's what made it so effective. The bad for me, and this is what brings this episode down, and it's not this episode's fault entirely, but I think this show is an episodic show with slightly serialized ties. Like, it's going to be, okay, this week we're doing this. Next week we're doing that. You know, like, it's kind of like, this is a bad example, but like CSI crime of the day, right? This feels to me like event of the day. And
we'll see. I mean, thankfully, they're not. Hopefully, they're not drawing this storyline out because it was so depressive.
Right. No, I don't think that they're going to draw this out. I think this is one of those things that kind of. And I get that sense because of what happened with the art guy in the first episode.
Yeah.
And then they go straight to Margaret, which I feel like has more ties to Elizabeth than Margaret the character. And then all of a sudden, they're going back on this another just subject entirely different, which is everything that happened in Abervan, right? And
this is probably what it's like, though. Each day the queen wakes up, it's like, oh, dealing with this thing.
What's going on today?
This thing.
So I think a lot of people probably think that that's a strength for this show because it allows them to do stuff like this where they talk about, you know, whatever from one episode. And then they're like, but yeah, there was this really big thing and we can just tackle that. For me, it's I don't like episodic television. I never have and I never will.
Yeah.
So it gives me, if you recall, feelings of, so far the show has given me feelings of the movie Black Mass, which was the film with Johnny Depp about...
I didn't watch it.
About Whitey Bulger. And
did I watch it?
Yeah, you did. We saw it at the drive-in together.
Oh, with a baby in my hand.
That's true.
I did not pay attention.
And Black Mass was a decent movie, but it felt like it was playing the greatest hits of Whitey Bulger's life. And it didn't have any connective tissue. It was just like scene after scene that didn't have any connective tissue. That just,
yeah,
they just played the greatest hits. And that was it. And that's what made that movie not so good. So I'm not saying that's what's happening with The Crown, but I'm getting a sense of that. But my great is that there's this shot of Elizabeth after watching the news. She turns the TV off and she puts her face in complete darkness, like complete black.
Ooh, yeah.
And it represents everything that's going on in her and around her, which is she's shut herself off. She's shut herself off from the people, from the situation, her knowledge of the situation, her willingness to be there. It's completely shut off. And it's totally ensconced in black, which it just sent shivers up my spine when I watched it. So, man, what a great shot. Just the show is really capable of some really cool stuff. And I like it.
It's doing a great job. I agree.
Yes. So let's get into it.